11 o'clock in Birmingham across the great state of Alabama on a gorgeous Monday. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you until 12 noon. Some of the headlines, some of the big topics we've touched on the hour number one of the program. Obviously, Kevin Steele, his name being bannered back and forth. That looks like he is going to be the next defensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. Still no official announcement of Tommy Rees or Kevin Steele, but Kevin Steele, 64 years old, veteran SEC defensive coordinator. He'll join Saban's staff for the third time since Nick Saban has been in Tuscaloosa. Also, over the weekend, we discussed Tennessee beating Auburn in basketball. Bama, big win on the road against LSU. And UAB gets a win at home in Conference USA.
Yeah, and Samford with a nice win at home this week as they continue very good play in the SoCon tonight. You got a couple of games, one out of the ACC. You get Duke traveling to Miami to take on the Hurricanes. And, of course, Kansas, number 8 team in the country. They're going to play host to Texas. So two good matchups tonight. Not much to choose from, but those are two you might want to dial into. Flu season is still here, unfortunately. You got to make your home healthier with Trane's Clean Effects Home Air Cleaner. It removes up to 99.9% of airborne particles, including those that cause virus. It's 100 times more effective than standard air filters, and it's 8 times more effective than HEPA room filters. Contact a Trane certified dealer for the Clean Effects Air Cleaner.
Georgia got some bad news this morning in football. According to On3 Sports, former 5-star recruit Marvin Jones Jr. suffered an injury. It will require him to miss the entire spring session for the Bulldogs coming up in about a month. The sophomore outside linebacker recently underwent surgery to correct a shoulder ailment, according to persons with knowledge of the situation. Those same sources tell On3 Sports that Jones is expected to be ready by the start of preseason camp in the fall, but he will miss everything this spring. So Marvin Jones Jr. will not be available for spring practice for the 2-time back-to-back national champion Georgia Bulldogs.
Tough way to start, but they've had injuries before. And with that schedule, I don't know if you would need maybe.
You're absolutely right about that.
You're too deep on either side until, well, I won't go to
the SEC
schedule,
championship game.
Yeah, possibly. You look at the hirings at Alabama or the reported hirings. Don't know if HR has crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, but you got Tommy Rees coming in from Notre Dame. We talked about that on Friday when his name had surfaced. On Thursday, as a new offensive coordinator, replacing one Bill O'Brien. And then Kevin Steele, his third stint at Alabama under Nick Saban, coming back. Most recently is the defensive coordinator for Mario Cristobal at Miami. Your reaction to those hires, your thoughts on both of them? You like one of them. You say, no, we needed to go younger. We made a mistake, drug our feet. 800-239-WJOX or 205-834-9450. Walter texts into the show on the Jocks text line and asks the question, you think by not firing the OC after the bowl game hurt Bama on getting a better OC?
Well, first off, I think that it was a pretty much a foregone conclusion that Bill O'Brien was not going to be back as the Alabama offensive coordinator. I think that was kind of a worst-kept secret in T-Town. I think the other one on the defensive side was not so much. I think that was still in a gray area up in the air. But I think Nick Saban, probably as the season progressed, knowing that Bill O'Brien, his contract was probably not going to be renewed and that he was going to be looking at other opportunities, especially in the NFL, I think Nick Saban probably went ahead and started kicking the tires, started relatively at least having conversations with Miss Terry, who he was probably thinking of. I don't think anything happens down in Tuscaloosa by happenstance.
Jeff Lebby, I would think, would have been your top candidate, if not 1A, 1B. Garrett Riley, that was a hot name. I don't know how much interest was there. I mean, obviously Nick Saban, he's got to think about Garrett Riley and what they did at TCU, and now he's at Clemson.
Now, to go back to what the text listener just said, if you were at the Sugar Bowl and Bill O'Brien would have said at his press conference, you know, this is it. This is my final game at Alabama. Maybe that would have stoked a little bit more interest, maybe from somebody. Maybe a Kendall Briles wouldn't have gone to TCU. Maybe he would have tried to have a conversation, or his representation would have had a conversation with Tuscaloosa. But I think Nick Saban knew good and well where he was going or what direction potentially he was going to go in. And I think Lebby was the number one candidate, and Lebby decided he wanted to stay in Norman.
But and we know the relationship between Belichick and also with Nick Saban, but Belichick not knowing or, you know, deciding he was going to come out and say, yes, I will be back for the 2023 season. Just wonder, yeah, you felt pretty good about Bill O'Brien being able to land another job, but it was not totally ruled out by Alabama insiders that Bill O'Brien could be back. There was a possibility of him coming back. So do you want to let a guy go or say, hey, I'm going to bring in somebody else if there's still the potential that he could be sticking around? Again, he wasn't chopped liver. They still performed pretty well on offense. Now, the fans would have hated it, but it's an interesting question. And, Walter, we appreciate that, and that's what we do. We play the what-if game and the speculation game.
So one thing is for sure, a lot of speculation in the state of Florida about what happened with Jaden Rashada. And The Athletic did a really good piece. They kind of peeled the onion back. They kind of let you in behind the scenes exactly what was taking place in regards to his NIL. The Athletic charted quarterback Jaden Rashada's recruitment from the discovery to his Miami commitment to his since terminated almost $14 million deal to go to Florida. You can look at it and you can read, and it takes you, it's a tour through the untamed world of recruiting when it comes to NIL. So the contract was with the Gator Collective, right? So the day that he signs his NIL contract, he was to be paid $500,000 up front. After that, he would receive payments. They would increase from $250,000 a month as a freshman to $291,000 a month as a sophomore.
Should be noted, you said month, not year.
No. This is month.
Month.
That's correct. So he got a $500,000 upfront payment. And then as a freshman, he would make $250,000 a month. As a sophomore, he would make nearly $292,000 a month. Then as a junior, $375,000 a month. That rounded out with $195,833.33 monthly payments as a senior, as long as he fulfilled the following obligations. He had to reside in Gainesville, Florida, which that's convenient.
So you can't fly in?
No. Had to reside in Gainesville.
Okay.
You can't take classes, obviously, you know, via remote. Had to be there in Gainesville. At least one branded Twitter post and one branded Instagram post per month. That's it. Just one Twitter post, one Instagram post per month. Up to 8 fan engagement events per year. These can include in-person appearances, social media engagements, video conferences, or interviews. None would last longer than 2 hours.
Good grief.
And then he would have to autograph up to 15 pieces of merchandise per year. That's it. So only autograph, to me, that seems low. So all these things, only doing one tweet per month, one Instagram post per month, and only signing 15 pieces, what are you paying him for?
Winning football games, buddy.
I know you're paying him to be your quarterback. But, I mean, my goodness, you're paying the dude as a freshman after his $500,000 upfront payment, you're paying him $250,000 a month. And then as a senior, well, as a junior, $375,000, and then it would go back down if he, I think the reason why, you know, because if he was there through his junior year, he's going to go pro if he's that good. So that's why they kind of, you know, got a discounted rate of $195,000 a month if he made it to his senior year.
Well, first of all, that's a sweet deal if it ever gets done. But now you kind of see why it was Nick's. Because take a guy like Anthony Richardson. He wasn't a world beater. He's got all kinds of upside. He's a raw guy. He's so physically gifted. It's ridiculous. But what was Anthony Richardson's NIL deal? So you're going to take a 4-star quarterback, not even the best quarterback out of the state of California or in the country, not even the best player in the state of California, in Jaden Rashada out of Pittsburgh, California, and you're going to offer him that kind of money?
So according to The Athletic, now think back to when he agreed to that reportedly $9 million deal, right?
Right.
At Miami. That was going to be with LifeWallet. That was who was going to basically be his NIL. He was scheduled to film a commercial in Miami the week of the Hurricanes' November 5th game against Florida State. Guess what? He didn't show up. And reportedly, he had already been paid $125K, part of the NIL deal.
Uh-oh.
So then at that point in time, a lawyer that is dealing with all this NIL stuff sent a note to the person that was writing the checks to the NIL notifying that the player had breached his contract. So then at that point in time, that's when it became open again, and that's when Florida became involved in the conversation. But according to The Athletic, that $500,000 that I said that he was supposed to get as a signing bonus, that what happened was that was supposed to take place either the day of the signing or at least a couple days after signing, and that payment never happened. So you had Miami reportedly paid $125,000 up front to get him part of the NIL, and then he didn't show up to shoot a commercial on November 5th. So he's in breach of his NIL contract.
So do we know why he didn't show up? So he knew, I mean, did he know that he had a better offer potentially out there from Florida? And he's just going to skip out on it?
Because good question.
If I've signed something for $9 million, I'm going to get there early. If I'm supposed to be on that day, I'm going to be there 2 days early, 3 days early, just to make sure. And I realize he's still a high school kid, but.
So you remember Hugh Hathcock? Remember him?
Yeah.
The Florida booster who pledged $12.6 million in April of 2022 to the Florida's athletic department. So he kind of started telling people, then he actually tweeted out 4 days after Rashada did not film that commercial, okay? 4 days. He tweeted out, tomorrow will be a great day, Gator fans. So he kind of started hinting around that obviously there had been some type of communication with Rashada in regards to him maybe flipping his commitment from Miami to University of Florida. So it's just a fascinating article for those that want to dive into the NIL. It's a great piece. It's on The Athletic. You have to have a membership to be able to access it. But it is indeed just a breakdown of what all was involved from a monetary standpoint for him if he went to Florida was just tremendous.
And a reminder that we all should play football as younger. Or if you got kids now, get him in now.
No kidding. You think he's getting anything from Arizona State? I'm guessing they're giving him something because that was his dad's alma mater. That was the school he grew up rooting for. But, I mean, it's not going to be that kind of money. It'd just be interesting to see what kind of endorsement deal he gets. But as a college football fan and we know where it's going, if it does eventually get to this point and you've got high school kids that have never played a college snap signing $13 million NIL deals, I would like to at least gradually get to that point and not go from, well, Bryce Young reportedly getting over $1 million to, oh, there's a kid from Tennessee. He's, you know, never been there. He's going to get $8 million. And then all of a sudden, this Jaden Rashada kid, not even the best player out of his own state, getting reportedly 13, 14.
And at this rate, the high school kids going to their first year or whatever are going to be making more than rookies in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Not just annually, like their contract. Because when the deal was whatever restructured, a lot of them are getting like, you know, 20, 25, 30 or so. So with him allegedly about to get 13 or so, we're not that far off.
Yeah, and going back to you asked me the question, was that $125,000 that he got originally at Miami because of his NIL deal with LifeWallet? Sources told The Athletic that that was repaid, that $125,000 went back to Miami. Then he cut the deal with the Gator Collective, and the Gator Collective was supposed to be paid 2 days after December 5th, and it just never happened.
So do you have legal recourse against the Gator Collective? Would be my question for breach of contract. Or was there something, there's some out clause that was in there?
According to some people that The Athletic talked to in this article, and they talked to some law professors around the country, the contract did include an absolute, up to their discretion, they could terminate the agreement. The Gator Collective could.
Got to read that fine print.
So that's why I think you didn't have a lot of blowback from Rashada's camp except, hey, just get me out of my letter of intent, you know, or whatever.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Let me just move on.
Richard texts the show and asks, why can't the NCAA set up a clearinghouse to review all NIL deals to determine what a NIL deal is legit or simply a pay-for-play scheme that is prohibited by NCAA rules and most state NIL laws, plus the clearinghouse can make every NIL deal public? Well, Richard, there's a lot of people employed by the NCAA, but there's a lot of different areas that they specialize in and have to take care of. And for all the NIL deals, you see how long they take on an NCAA investigation when it comes to penalizing a school and going through their due process and sending out their formal charges or rules that were broken. I don't think you want to have the NCAA reviewing your NIL, because now it's danged if you do, danged if you don't. College football has tried to separate themselves as much as possible, though the NCAA is still the governing body of collegiate athletics. College football has kind of moved away, and NCAA still wants a piece of the pie, right? And they still want the other sports. They certainly still want March Madness and college basketball. So they've kind of left it alone, and they're taking a pick and choose case by case, whereas why Miami right now, they're kind of piddling around down there with that program.
Plus, if you look at the deal that Rashada got, that's all on the up and up. If every deal just literally put those four little caveats, it's fine. There's nothing shady, whatever, about it. Now, other things, whatever can happen, and they may not necessarily put that in the language of the contract, but if you just basically put those four lines, they'll all just get rubber stamped. So, again, we can have a clearinghouse to do this, but if they all just do this, it'll basically just be a waste of time.
And it also says in this article that the Gator Collective, they kept trying to have conversation with Rashada to try to work out, I believe, a new NIL deal. So there's a little bit of buyer's remorse, I think, as soon as they got him on the hook. And at that point in time, they tried to negotiate a lower rate. And Rashada and his team, family, whatever, basically said, we're not doing that. And that's why when he was in Florida at the Under Armour game, he had his belongings sent from California to Florida. Like there appeared to be every intention of him going to be in Gainesville, going to apply, going to be okay. But then once the Under Armour thing happened, and then the Gator Collective obviously started having these conversations that we need a lower rate here. They need to help us out a little bit. And the Rashada family was not interested in that. And so from that standpoint, it was off looking at other alternatives, which included his father's school, which was Arizona State.
Well, Brandon texts in the show and says the cap needs to be put on these deals. Well, I mean, it goes back to square one, and you're going to have to deal with the Supreme Court. You can't limit the earning potential of a player on their name, image, and likeness.
And here's the thing. Started in January, there is a new NCAA bylaw, which basically somebody could call the NCAA without having any legitimate evidence and claim that a school is breaking an NCAA policy with NIL.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's going to be on the school. It's not like you've got a smoking gun and then you come down to the school's campus and say, hey, look, you guys have done this. We have this proof. No, 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 no. They could simply say, well, we've got an accusation from another school in your conference that you are breaking NIL policy. And then at that standpoint, this is the NCAA investigation, and the school has got to prove that that did not take place, even though they might not have a smoking gun. Now, Mississippi has a state law where you cannot limit players from making any money when it comes to NIL, and a body, a la the NCAA, can't come in and penalize a school or a player based on that law because of an NIL situation. So Mississippi's kind of gotten out in front, lo and behold, because what? They got a coach in their state that loves the transfer portal.
He does.
Loves the NIL. Doesn't recruit that well when it comes to regular high school recruiting, but he does well from the transfer portal. And they've got a law on the books now. So if the NCAA comes knocking, You're talking about litigation. Remember a couple weeks ago I was telling you about how much money the NCAA lost last year?
$53.5 million.
Just because of the legal ramifications, all the things that they have to deal with. And now it's so easy to accuse someone
of
breaking
the
NIL
though,
policy?
If you're getting excited about the new bylaw, don't, because people have been doing that for years and sending stuff to the NCAA.
But see, now it's just so much easier to walk down there and say, okay, well, you've got to prove to us that this is not true. Well, what evidence do you have? Well, we got a phone call from Landrum Roberts in Birmingham.
Well, you could take the Orange Crush student section from Illinois and say, hey, 200 of you make individual phone calls with different accusations about the other however many, you know, Big Ten
and
member
don't think
institutions.
That doesn't happen.
You go ahead and do that, and then all of a sudden the NCAA is having to check out. And are you telling me that Illinois is going to have to then go disprove 200 different accusations? Or another school is going to have to disprove?
Well, I mean, I think that's where the NCAA, they'll have to sit down and they'll have to basically kind of figure out, okay, is this worth going after, or is this more legitimate than another claim?
Hey, this is posturing by the NCAA to say, hey, we're still relevant and we're still here to enforce rules if you guys want us to, because we hear all of you coaches talking about what's going on.
You want guardrails.
Yep.
Here's the guardrails.
Here's your guardrail. But then you get to the state of Mississippi and,
we'll see in court.
You're SOL. You're exactly right. It is time for Coach Speak, presented by our friends at Pat's Archery and Outdoors.
They said, what?
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out.
And now, Pat's Archery brings you Coach Speak.
And all you need for gun season is at Pat's Archery. They're going to have you ready with the Christensen Ridgeline and Ridgeline FFT rifles. Optics, including Vortex and Loophole, offering 12 months. Same as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper, or at Pat's Archery. .com. Alabama with the road win in Baton Rouge over LSU on Saturday. But Nate Oates, the head coach of the Crimson Tide, said it could have been better.
It was definitely not one of our better wins, but you know, sometimes you're competing for a league championship. You got to go on the road and win games that aren't pretty. They're ugly. You know, I thought we had some guys step up. So you got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, we kind of pounded them on glass first time we played them, but you know, this time we only had four old boards for the entire game. So that I told our guys too, teams, you know, we're going to hurt teams one way in one game. They're going to make a huge point emphasis to stop it the second time you play them. And we got to do a better job still figuring out a way to make that a strength of ours. You know, not our best performance, but at this point, when you play a team a second time and it's on the road, those are hard ones to get. So, and we're at 10-0, and we've got a tough week ahead of us. Shoot, we've got a tough couple weeks ahead of us, to be honest with you.
Hey, it went a little bit longer than I thought.
Let him finish.
Sorry. I was kind of being redundant there. So you think back the way Alabama performed in Starkville. Remember that? How they dominated that?
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, Mississippi State made some adjustments.
They did.
And heck of a game, Coleman Coliseum. Bama, as you heard Nate Oates, took it to them, pounded them. That was his quote, right?
Yeah.
We pounded LSU. And he turned around, they made the adjustments, and you saw that it was a basketball game with 3.5, 4 minutes left to go in the game. So it just proves to you, especially that second time around, when you face a team, whether it's in the regular season or come tournament time, you better be ready, because that team, if you're good enough, you're going to make those adjustments.
Well, meanwhile, in Knoxville, Tennessee, on Saturday afternoon, it was two dribbles in a cloud of dust between Tennessee and Auburn. Tennessee wins the game 46-43. Bruce Pearl, post game, takes some of the blame.
Disappointing loss of the year. Had a chance to beat the number two team in the country. Kids did an incredible job defensively. Our guards, you know, the way they guarded, Muscovy and Ziegler, nobody else, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter what else could do. I can't compliment our kids enough for the way they locked in the scouting report, and Stephen Pearl and his team did an incredible job. I feel I'm going to take some responsibility for some of our late game looks. I guess, you know, first of all, to hold Tennessee down to 27% shooting and 9% from three, and, you know, everything that we did just gave ourselves a chance. So the effort and the energy, the tough fight, I'm very proud of my team. But I've got to do a better job of helping them get better looks at the end. Very disappointed that at the end of the game, very disappointed. I've got to do a better job of getting our guys in practice and working on it. I just got to work on it more. We work on a lot of things, and I just got to work on some in-game offense so I get my team better shots.
Kind of beating himself up a little bit. You think he's talking about the end of the game? You think he's talking about the official, and that's just his subtle way of doing it?
Yeah, he definitely went after the referee after the game, that's for sure.
Goodness gracious.
The way he pointed out how they held Tennessee to 9% shooting behind the three-point arc. Auburn shot 11% behind the three-point arc. That's better. My math tells me that that is better than 9%, but not overwhelmingly successful when you hit 3 of 27.
That is Coach Peak, presented by Pat's Archery. They're going to have you ready for gun season with the Browning X-Bolt, Micro Midas, and Hell's Canyon rifles, plus plenty of handguns, shotguns, and ammo for personal protection. 12 months, same as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper, or at patsarchery.com.
When we come back on Three-Man Front, we will have a discussion on where Aaron Rodgers may end up. That's part of Pat Ponder's next on Three-Man Front.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.